Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and I hope that you have a great day today and this week, and the Lord has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we have another program. And today I have my friend and Sunday school teacher, Marvin Bassinger, with us. And I'm glad to have you here today. He was with me last week. And Clark, who usually takes me, he took a tumble and he got his pelvis got cracked, and he's now in rehabilitation. And so I think I know Clark's out there listening. So, Clark, God bless you, and we'll be praying for you and hope that you get well real soon. And he's in a nice facility over there at the Wellington place. So you have a good day. But for all of you out there, we hope that you will have a good day with the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the God of this universe saying this. Now, we have this program, Brother Gus, who we've had on the air here, he has a pizza place called North Coast Pizza over there across from the high school. And I believe it's on, Turney Road or Garfield Boulevard?
Turney Road,
okay. And he invites us over there, and so we go over there and have fellowship afterwards and have a pizza. And my friend here was Rick Hine. We'd meet him over there every week. He was pastor of the church the Lord helped me found in 1970, and he was now the pastor of the church. But we saw him, and he looked okay, but it was announced that he went to the hospital. He wasn't feeling too good, and they said he had cancer in his body. And shortly after that, he went to the hospital, and the Lord took him home to heaven. And it's we never know when we're going to go. And that's why God wants us to live right and be ready to meet him at any time, because God only knows when he's going to take us. And, you know, it reminds me of some things I'd like to say about this. First of all, the whole program of the Lord is getting a family together. And if you would like to be part of God's family and spend eternity in exceeding joy, wonderful, great joy, working for the Lord and having a tremendous time with the Lord forever and all of his people, why, you receive Jesus. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so that's something we can get out of it. And I think also for Brother Rick Hine, that went to be with the Lord, that Rick, if I would give a eulogy, I could say good things. The Bible says for a preacher that God, the main thing is God wants him to be faithful. Paul says that God counted him faithful and that he put him into the ministry. And when I look back at Rick's life, he's a very pleasant fellow, and I could say that he was faithful to his wife. She said she lost her best friend, and that's good that she could say that. And he was faithful to his family, he's faithful to the church, and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, where did he learn that? Well, he learned that from Jesus himself, because Jesus is faithful. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you may have had somebody in your family that took off from you and left you by yourself. And a lot of people do that today. But I know that Brother Rick learned that Jesus is faithful. And so he was faithful to his family. And Jesus is faithful to us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said that whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, all that the Father gave me, I've lost none of them. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Some people say, well, you can do it. Well, if you're a man, and that's referring to lady also, you can't even pluck yourself out, because Jesus will keep you. And people are afraid, well, if you don't have hell hanging over your head, why, you're not going to live right. Well, listen, if you get saved, you're born again, and God is in you, and he motivates you, and he works on you, and he puts you under conviction, and he helps to keep you straight. But not only that, the Bible says that if we're children of God, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. So he's saying, you know, as a Christian, we've been, our punishment, we're never punished as a Christian. Jesus took our punishment 2,000 years ago, but he will discipline us and to get us doing what we're supposed to do. And I don't want to have an extra trip to the hospital or be disciplined by the Lord. And so, but the Lord says he'll never cast us out. And he says, I've never lost a person. And people may not believe that, but that's what Jesus said. I've never lost anybody. And when God saves you, he saves you forever. And we can thank God for that. So we know this. Now, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when we get saved, and that means we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are born again, and God puts his life and spirit into us. And so when we get saved, we know where we're going. And one denomination teaches that that's sin of presumption to say you know you're going to heaven. Well, they're saying then that God is lying, because God says you can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, it's forever. Somebody said, if God said he'd keep you alive for 5 years, would you believe it? Well, what about 100 years? What about 1,000 years? What about forever? Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Another place he calls it everlasting life. And so God has made these promises to us if we receive Jesus. And so we know when we are saved, and so Rick knew that he was saved, and that means that he knew where he was going. Now, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I'd like to read some verses on this subject that talk about this, and this tells us about where Brother Rick Hine, he was pastor of Bedford Baptist Church. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, now he calls it a tabernacle, that's like a tent. We live in a body of flesh and bones, and it's sometimes it's very weak. I mean, we just have a thin layer of flesh that keeps in the blood, and so it's not very powerful. It's like a tent. But he says, we know if it's dissolved, that is, if the flesh is dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So the next body is compared to a house because it is made out of materials that never grow old. We sing a song called Never Grow Old, and that is true. We're growing old now, but I think of a favorite verse of mine, and I'm starting to feel it, but it says, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This body is made of flesh and bones and blood. But the body we have will be made of flesh and bones, but not of blood, because the flesh will be supernatural flesh. And so it's called a house rather than a tabernacle or a tent. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our houses, which is from heaven. And so, you know, I think about Brother Rick. They said that in the hospital he had a bad case of cancer. And sometimes when people have cancer, they have to be in pain and groan and suffer. But the Lord decided to take him out of that, so he didn't have to go through pain and suffering. He went straight to heaven, and I was there the day that he passed away at that place. And so once he learned he had cancer, shortly after that, the Lord took him with him. And so he didn't have to spend much time groaning. But in this body, we groan because of the pains. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That means we're going to be clothed. Our soul will be clothed in a new body. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, this body is called mortal because this physical body, it will decay and it will physically die. We will be swallowed up of life. We have eternal life in us. You know, this makes me think of the caterpillar. And the caterpillar crawls around on the dust of the earth. And one day he crawls out of his cocoon, leaves his cocoon behind, and he becomes a beautiful butterfly. And he flies away. And so it's a picture of what will happen to us. We're in our cocoon right now. We're just going to leave that old body behind, and they'll put it to bed with the shovel, and we will get a new supernatural body just like that caterpillar has, only we'll fly away. And so we sing the song, I'll fly away some glorious day, and we'll be with Jesus, and that body, it will never grow old, and that we'll go at the speed of thought. Say, I think light goes at about 186,000 miles per second or something like that. We're going to be at the speed of thought, and when we move out, we'll make a Saturn rocket look like a turtle walking backwards. We'll go so fast. So it says, the mortal body, physical body, be clothed of life. And so Brother Rick is now more alive than he has ever been. I remember I used to wonder what it'd be like, and our family lived very old, when I went to my mother's funeral, and I wonder what it'd be like at the funeral. And I just thought, I didn't have any big emotional experience. I love my mother. She was a great lady. But I was thinking, she is more alive than she's ever been. Her mental capacity's been greatly increased. Her vision's been greatly increased. No pain. Her joy has been greatly increased. Because the Bible says so, and we have it. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, who did it? Well, God did it. You know, this whole existence is a miracle. I mentioned recently I saw a picture of the world from space, and the Bible says it hangeth the world upon nothing. There's this huge ball out there sitting on nothing, and it just looks strange. But the God that created the universe, for instance, they talk about the Big Bang. I believe in that. And that shows that matter had a beginning. A time had a beginning, that the whole creation had a beginning. When God said it, bang, it happened. But different from when men make bangs and they explode things, it turns into a pile of rubble. God turned the whole universe into something so complex it's hard to even imagine. Those stars moving within a fraction of a second, continually, huge balls of gas and matter just floating around in space in the course that God has developed. And you know, the one that was on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, for 33 and a half years, the Bible says it was he that created all things by the word of his power. And he did it. He spoke. The Holy Spirit moved. And we have a Christ that is absolutely incredibly powerful. I hear people sometimes, they say, if I got saved, I couldn't live it. Well, I agree with them. You sure couldn't live it. But I'll tell you, when the God of this universe enters into you, you will live it. And you will have a life and more abundantly. Now, I'm not saying the devil won't hit you sometimes. He is working on my case recently. I've had a lot of things happen, but Jesus is still there with me and with everyone. And we experience that. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who works in our life and helps us to do right. He lives in us through his wonderful Holy Spirit. And as we praise him and as we think about him, we listen to music that praises Jesus, we experience the joy of heaven. Rick is gone now to be with the Lord. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's why we're here. We're physically absent from him. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, God wants us to believe in him. And what is it? We believe his word. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe his word. And one place he says, if ye abide in me, and I abide in you. And then a few verses later, he says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So how does Jesus abide in us? He abides in us in his words. You see, and he has given us his words, and we talk about why the authorized King James Bible is his words. You throw out this Bible, you're throwing out Jesus in reality. That's why in the Laodicean church, Jesus is outside the church. But this is based on the text that Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. And we can trace that text, which the King James translators translated. The modern ones are based on false texts. They attack the deity of Christ over and over again. And so it says here, we walk by faith. Now, what is it? It says, in thy word do I trust. Now, today on the radio, you have preachers there that are correcting the Word of God. Now, they don't correct other versions. They correct the King James. Why? Because the King James Bible is the authority of Almighty God. And they're saying it should have been so-and-so. And you never hear them correct another Bible. But they correct the King James. They don't tell you by what authority they correct it. They don't tell you the Greek text they use. They don't tell you the lectionaries. They just make a dogmatic statement. And what they do, Satan has deceived their hearts, and they're showing off. Oh, they're showing I'm smarter than the text. And the thing is, as we've said many times before, they say it's the Word of God. I see them hold up the King James Bible, say it's the Word of God, and then they correct it. Let me tell you something. Think about this. If they say it's the Word of God, who are they correcting? If they say hold it up and say it's the Word of God, who are they correcting? Well, by their own statement, they're correcting God if they hold it up. And Jesus said this, again, I'll repeat this. If you abide in me and I abide in you, and then he goes down, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, the Bible uses parallelism to help us understand it. So Christ abides in us through his words. So we walk by faith, not by sight. It says, in thy word do I trust. I mentioned some Bible correctors. We don't trust in Pope Kenny or Pope Johnny or Pope Jimmy. That's not who we are to trust in. We are to trust in, God says, in thy word do I trust. Now we are confident and say and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Why? Well, in this life, the Bible says we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so Paul is saying this. He got beat up over and over again. He got mobbed. He got thrown in prison. He got rocks thrown at him. And he says, I'd rather be with the Lord than be here, but God's allowed me to be here for a short time. Now, why do we believe this? I am amazed sometimes. People believe all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of religions and all kinds of gods and so on that they worship and all kinds of prophets. What evidence do they have for their belief? You know, if I'm going to believe something, I want to have proof and evidence for what I believe. You know, somebody says, well, that's not faith. You're wrong. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means all the beliefs we have about Jesus. The evidence of things not seen. The Bible is a book of evidence about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the evidence? Well, the evidence is, for one thing, Jesus said that when he died, he'd come out of the grave 3 days later. And he told everybody that. You know, if he did not rise from the dead, that would have proved Christianity was a fraud. And today you'd never even hear about it. You wouldn't know about Christianity because everybody in his day would know it was a fraud. But he told it, and the leaders of Israel knew it. They told Pilate, this guy said he's going to rise from the dead. And Jesus walked out of the grave 3 days later. And we celebrate it because we worship on Sunday. That's the day that Jesus came out of the grave. And he appeared to his disciples after that a number of times on the first day of the week, that Sunday. So, who saw him? Well, the disciples saw him. And their name, James saw him, his half-brother. He didn't believe in Jesus before his resurrection. And then we know that Paul saw him, and Peter saw him, and John saw him. And not only that, he went to Galilee, told him, go. He said, go there. And he was meeting with them. And over 500 people saw him alive after he rose from the dead. And Paul writing later, he says, most of them are still living. And that suddenly made a powerful movement. And it was so powerful that when the Jewish people came to Passover, came at Passover time and then Pentecost, they were there celebrating in Jerusalem. And Peter got up and preached, and over 5,000 people became believers in the Lord. And then it soon grew to the church in Jerusalem at 50,000 members of that church. And these people were bilingual. Even though God disciplined and punished Israel for their rejection of God, he scattered them all over the world. They learned the languages of the whole world. And when they came to Jerusalem, thousands of Jews became believers in Jesus. And they went back to where they lived, and they preached the gospel to the whole world. And the New Testament says two times the whole world back then heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't have radio and they didn't have television, but he rose from the dead. And we believe in Jesus because at his trial, no one said that he did not do the miracles that he did. They were his enemies and they wished to put him to death and they tried him. No one said he didn't do it. Why? Hundreds of thousands of people, if you read the Bible account, saw him raise people from the dead time after time, saw him instantly heal the lepers. And so we have, our faith is based on evidence. It says, we are confident, I say, in saying, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that we, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We want Jesus to say, good, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we meet him. And we thank the Lord that the Lord will keep us. You know, the Bible says you first have to realize you have sinned. If you think that your good deeds will get you to heaven, they'll never do it. There is one famous nun that the world, the news media was talking about all the time, and somebody read her book. Somebody wrote a book about her and said she was always saying she felt far from God. She was depressed. She didn't know the Lord. And she stated this all the time. Why? Well, she probably thought that her good deeds were would outweigh her bad because she was a person that was helping people all the time. The papers had talked about all the great deeds she had done. But I tell you, none of us are good enough to make it. God demands absolute perfection. If we sin one time, we're damned. We'll go to hell. But Jesus came, who was God in a human body. And the Bible teaches us from cover to cover that God would come. And he became a man. And there he died on the cross in our place. And by the way, you know, if your preacher, if the person you're listening to does not talk about the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, and rose from the dead. If they don't talk about that, it's not biblical. You know, the reason there's so many false teaching going out there is people are not reading the Bible systematically. I'm telling you, on so many false teachings that are out there today, anybody that would read the Bible systematically, I mean, read it every day, read the chapter two or three times when you read it, and then read the next one. Read John 1, John 2, John 3, and then finish John, you go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and so on. Read each chapter two or three times and read it systematically. The reason I'm a Bible believer, King James Bible believer, is because, and I don't say this braggingly, but I am so dogmatic on this because it's so clear when there's false teaching, the verses come right to my mind. And I read it 100 times before I was 35 years old. When I started to study this subject of manuscript evidence, I went to a seminary, and I went to the leading person in the Greek department. And he gave me this paper on textual criticism, and I didn't understand it at the time. But in the paper, it said, God never said he was going to preserve his words. Now, I do not remember anybody ever telling me that God would preserve his words. But I had read the New Testament 100 times, and as soon as I read that, the verses just came into my mind, one verse after another. I mean, and I thought at the time, wow, that's fantastic. God said he's going to preserve his words. Wonderful. And that's it. With all this, the garbage out there and all the false teaching, I am telling you, God made it simple. You just read the Bible, and you need to read the Bible. It's very, very important. Jesus said, search the scriptures. If you don't read the Bible, you're disobeying the Lord. The Bible says those that were Berea were much more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures for themselves. And by reading it, you'll see what's right and wrong. It'll be crystal clear in your mind. When you read something or hear something that's wrong, you'll know it. Okay, so that's so Rick today is with the Lord. And, you know, the Lord makes such good promises. The Bible says that he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, how can you be faultless? We all sin. The reason we can be faultless is Jesus was punished for our sins. You ought to read Hebrews chapter 10 about 10 times. Jesus was punished for our sins, and the Bible says, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he says, your sins and your iniquities will I remember against you no more. What a wonderful promise. He's a good God. I'm glad I don't have to face the Lord with my sins. Oh, I'm not, by most people's standards, I've lived a fairly good life, but by God's standards, no way. I remember witnessing one time to my tailor, and he thought he was a pretty good guy, even though he was running around on his wife. And so I said to him, I said, well, I won't say his name. I said, you just don't know the Lord. If you knew God, you know how sinful you actually were. And to be saved, you have to know that you're a sinner. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous, but call sinners to repentance. And if you're willing to turn from your sin and acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life, and that means he's the boss, and you recognize that, and then that he is your Savior, that he died for your sins. And so when you accept him, all your sins have been paid for by Jesus and his perfect life. He never sinned. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? That is counted to you. And God looks at you as having a suit of righteousness, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thought, because you can know from time to time, you think, boy, I'm messing up, man. I'm not doing near what I should be doing. But then God says, yes, but you have faith in me, and your faith in me is counted to you for righteousness. And I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thought. I tell you, I challenge you right now, read the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And the Lord in that chapter says it over and over again. And he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more. So, Rick, he has met the Lord Jesus Christ with total joy. And we can't describe it. The Bible says joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can't even describe it. It's so good. And the Bible says he'll have everlasting joy now. And what do you do in heaven? Well, you'll be working for the Lord, and you can do jobs that you so enjoy doing. It'll bring joy to your soul. We'll be serving the Lord in heaven and around the universe, and it'll bring joy because we will be given the capacity to do those jobs. And we'll be thanking the Lord, and we'll be praising him forever and ever. And that's what he is doing right now. And he will be given a body like Jesus. And the evidence and proof is Jesus came out of the tomb. That body could go anywhere, but Jesus said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. When he rose from the dead, he rose with flesh and bones, not flesh and blood, no blood there, but flesh and bones. And he could appear and reappear, go through walls, and he had a physical, he had a immortal body. We will have a body like him, and the proof is that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I simply say this. Those disciples, when they saw Jesus being crucified, by the way, Jesus says, I have no man taketh my life from me. He says, I have power to lay it down, power to take it up again. He said that, and he took it up. But before that, they ran away like a bunch of bunny rabbits from that, the Romans and the leadership in Israel, because of the crucifixion. I tell you that after they saw Jesus rose from the dead, they looked the same people that were responsible for his death, the leaders. And they looked him right in the eye, and they said, you by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. All fear was gone. And when man fell into sin, then fear came upon him, and he's afraid of everything. But when you know Jesus Christ, God says over and over, you don't have to be afraid. The Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, you think they were afraid holding hands with the creator of the universe in the garden? They certainly were not. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a wonderful thought that is. He will be with you, and you'll know him personally. And so we can praise him today. And that's what we need to do. We need to tell people. We don't have to try to give a sales job on it. It sells itself, you know. Just tell them the story. If they don't accept it, tell it to them anyway. They say, I don't believe the Bible. Give it to them anyway, because the Holy Spirit can work on them. Those words of Jesus that you give, in the King James Bible, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life.
Time for
and
a break.
So right now at this time, we're going to have an announcement.
Are judicial nominees required to take a litmus test? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'd like to understand better what it means to give the judges that they're considering a litmus test.
It is a standard by which there is one basis upon which you're either confirmed or if you are or going to be removed. And in those kind of situations, like a judicial litmus test, if you don't support a particular position, as if you don't support the women's right to abortion, well, then he's not going to nominate you. You will not even get in the door to apply for a federal judgeship, which realize what that means. That means that no pro-life judge or nominee could be confirmed, but even take it one step further, they wouldn't be nominated in the first place. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in this situation? And so this is the reality of what we've got to deal with.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Does God have a great deal for us or what? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Having some turmoil, anxiety, stress, care, a lot of woes, cast them all upon Jesus. When we do that, he trades us his joy for our worries. It's kind of a courage transfusion. 1 Peter 5 encourages us to cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Did you catch that exchange? Your anxiety, gone. His love and care, present. And along with it, the deep abiding joy of the Lord.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Okay, we're back with you today, and we're going to be talking from Psalm 19 today, and also we're going to invite you to call in if you'd like to say something, and we're talking about the Bible. We want to stay on that subject, but Pastor Al Davis, we really appreciate him, but I had to be somewhere else today, and so I'm going to ask Brother Marvin Bassinger, my Sunday school teacher at Columbia Road Baptist Church. He's going to be helping me here today, and he's now become a radio personality. but I'm going to ask him to give some numbers to you, and you might want to get a paper and a pen. You know, these people call you in sometimes, and they call up and they say, we're from so-and-so, and here's our phone number, something like that, you know, and they give it so fast you can't even get it down. But we want to let you know a number of times. And wherever you are in the world, you can call in toll-free this number. And we'd like to hear from some of the other countries that are listening. We know that this program is heard all over the world. We know it's heard in Germany because we get response on the internet from there, and heard in Germany and India. Recently, it's going on in India, Japan, China, and wherever you're at. And if you'd like to call in, we have a lot, probably more people listening to us because at this time in the Cleveland and Ohio area, because they're just going home from work right now. So we don't get as many calls from that area, but we're on at different times. And a few times we're on a number of stations that are played later so on. But anyway, Marvin, could you give that number now?
Yes, can, Bruce. Thank you for the wonderful message from God's Word in this past half hour. And if you're local here in the Cleveland area, you can call in at 216. That's 216-901-0933. That's locally at 216-901-0933. Now, we have a toll-free number also, and that number is 1-888-677-9673. That number is 1-888-677-9673. I'll give you those numbers again. Locally, it's 216-901-0933. And toll-free, it's 1-888-677-9673. So please give us a call. Bruce would like to hear from you. Back to you, Bruce.
Okay, we're going to talk today about the scripture, of course, and I want to read this out of Psalm chapter 19, and God reveals himself through the Bible. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, said his words. And he said, not one jot or tittle. Sometimes we think this is part of a letter. Jot and tittle in Hebrew are letters. And he says, not one letter is going to even pass away until it's all fulfilled. And he said, a letter from the law and the prophet. Now, we know that he was talking about the Hebrew text there, and because the Greek text doesn't have jots and tittles as part of the Greek letters in the Greek alphabet. They're not called jots and tittles, but the Hebrew does. And so the King James Bible in the Hebrew text, it's based on the Hebrew text, the Masoretic text that has come down to us. And the Bible says in Isaiah, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee, now Jacob is Israel, shall not depart out of thy mouth or out of the mouth of thy seed or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. And I've heard Jewish people that were from Israel that are scholars, that were born there, if they're not sure of a word, I've heard them write in their speech, quote out of the King James says so-and-so. They call it the English Bible, referring to King James. They have manuscripts that they have found, and people have noticed that the translation of some of these ancient manuscripts they found, they just use the King James text to translate it. God put it out the way he wanted, and God told Israel, the Jewish people, that they would always have it. One Jewish society, was not a Christian society, said that the translation of King James would never be superseded. Now, listen, you say, why do we do this? Why are you talking like this? And what's the point? The point is that the modern conversions, they are changed the words by thousands of words. Some guy got in a discussion with me at a restaurant. And he said, well, it's just synonyms updating the words. No way. Sure, there's a lot of those, but there's thousands of changes from a corrupt text. And God told us where the true text is. And in so many verses, point to the King James, even in other versions of the Bible. But God said he preserved the words in it's the Hebrew Masoretic text that has come down to us from the apostles, from the prophets of the Old Testament that the King James is translated into. And you know, sometimes these people say, and it's amazing, it seems like they think that if they get a microphone or a television camera, that qualifies them to correct the Bible. And they only correct the King James, and they'll say, it should have said this. And I think of the fellow that started the Jehovah's Witness. If you've been around, the Jehovah's Witness constantly come to your door, and they don't do this so much now, but they correct the King James Bible. And the guy that founded it, he was taken to court, and the lawyer said to him, he said to Russell, he said, do you know the Greek? And Russell said, yes. And so the lawyer said, would you please quote the Greek alphabet? Russell couldn't quote it. And some of these preachers that are correcting the King James, I would like a lawyer to ask them, please, would you quote the Greek alphabet? When they whatever changes they think should be made, there's all kinds of corrupt Greek dictionaries. There's all kinds of corrupt Greek text. And I wonder sometimes if they even know that they exist. They're following somebody that corrected it, and they say this. And I tell you, it's an abomination. It's a sin. You know, and then you have the Bible says that you should all speak the same thing so we can worship God the same. And so some preachers, they're putting out advertising a new version every year based on a corrupt text. And that's why we have this program. I'm going to, Marvin, do you have the address of Stouffer's book there? You have that? Okay, you got
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, I do.
All right, just a minute. I want to say, last couple of weeks we've had Brother Stouffer on the radio here, and he wrote a 900-page book. Now, I'm not just saying believe these books that we advertise just because they say it or we say it. You check them out. The Bible says they were Berea, were more noble than those of Thessalonica. You check them out to see if what he is saying is the truth. But he has 900, it's easy to understand, it's interesting reading, and he goes through hundreds of verses that have been changed into modern versions. It's not just synonyms or words that mean the same thing. It's different words. And we advertise these books on here so that you can read something else, because the bookstores, they're owned by individuals and that are putting these perversions out, the counterfeits out, and they're not going to have any book in their bookstore that says anything against these perversions that they're putting out. There's thousands of words that are changed in the NIV, the New American Standard, New King James, the Revised Standard Versions, the New English Bible, and so on. And so what we do here is we're equal time, because I think it was just all the time I see on radio and television, they're correcting the Authorized Bible. And I hope that this will make it unpopular to do this. I mean, this is, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Listen, if they say it's the word of God, then it got to be true according to Jesus Christ. Do you follow that logic? And they hold it up in their hand and they say it's the word of God. And they'll say, we stand on the word of God. And about 5 minutes later, it should have been, unfortunate translation. King James translated it wrong. Well, why did you call it the word of God? Jesus said, thy word is true from the beginning. Thy word is truth. Another verse after verse in the Bible says God's word is true. If it's God's word, it is true. And if they say it's God's word, the King James Bible, then it's true. And the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. And this is chaos and confusion. These Bibles disagree with one another. Guy wrote a book one time, and it says in the book, he says, things that are different are not the same. That's what the people, the Bible correctors, or some people believe, that using the corrupt text. Well, Marvin, could you tell us how to, the folks, how to find Brother Stouffer's book, and read the title of the book, too, if you could.
Yes, the title of the book that Brother Bruce is referring to is called One Book, One Authority. One Book, One Authority. It's written by Dr. Douglas Stouffer, and he could be reached in several different ways. He has a toll-free number that is 866-344-1611. That's 866-344-1611. I'm sorry. And he has a website. It's www.kjb1611.com. www.kjb1611.com. And he could be reached by email at Doug, D-O-U-G, at BibleDoug.com. Now, he has an address here in, it's Dr. Douglas Stouffer, P.O. Box 1611, Millbrook, Alabama, 36054. That's P.O. Box 1611, Millbrook, Alabama, 36054. And again, I'll give you that toll-free number since I messed it up so bad in a few times. That toll-free number is 866-344-1611. That's One Book, One Authority by Dr. Douglas Stouffer.
I think at this time we'll have, do we have another announcement there, engineer?
Well, I just want to mention that Brother Bruce has a website that if you want more information, it's called whereisgodsword.org. whereisgodsword.org. And there's a lot of useful information there that you could probably find a reference to this book on that website. That's whereisgodsword.org.
You know, also on there, I have I put out a number of CDs, and I almost forgot about that, but I have about six CDs that are 40 minutes, 40 or 45 minutes in length. And I trace the history of Bible-believing Christianity from the time of Christ all the way to the present. And I am very interested to find out where we come from in our history. And it's a history of the Baptists. Now, we don't talk about the fact that we're Baptists, but the heart and core of the Baptist faith is simply that the Bible is our only authority, no tradition or opinions of men. It's the Bible alone. It is the only authority. And so the Bible-believing churches, the Bible-believing Baptist churches from the time of Christ to the present, they're the ones that have copied the true text. It's over 99% of the ancient church fathers and the 99% of the ancient manuscripts copied in these Bible-believing churches. You might be interested in this, but you can listen to these CDs. There are many books that have been written in great detail, giving the names, the writings and teachings of the Bible-believing Christians from the time of Christ. And that interests me a lot to find out where we came from. And they're teaching the same doctrines. They have the same texts we have today. They taught premillennialism, and they taught the second coming of Christ and all of these things all the way through the Dark Ages. And they were all over Europe. There's hundreds of these Bibles in museums all over Europe that were copied by these people.
Brother Bruce, we have a lady by the name of Nancy calling from Euclid, Ohio, I assume.
Okay, Nancy, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Brother Bruce. Really enjoying your show today, and I know that's unusual for Pastor Al not to be there, but praise the Lord, you have Brother Marvin there. I want to ask a biblical question after I just give the details. I don't think you included the details for Pastor Rick Hines' funeral service, which I do have the details. They're going to have the viewing at Krakuen, C as in cat, R-U-C-U-I-N, funeral home at 7200 Detroit Road. that's Friday, February 27th, tomorrow, from 2 to 4 and from 6 to 8. That's Krakuen, C as in cat, R-U-C-U-I-N. UIN Funeral Home, 7200 Detroit Road. And then the service, I believe that's your church, Columbia Road Baptist Church, 10 a.m. on Saturday the 28th.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you announced that, because a lot of folks that from around the Cleveland area, they'd be glad to hear that, know that.
I was very, very inspired by Pastor Rick Hines. He's come to our church, Bible Baptist Temple, a number of times. I even suggested to Carol Wisnacko one time, I said, he'd be great for a revival speaker. And I was so shocked that, you know, the Lord took him home at such a young age of 56.
But, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, Mike. Okay, my question was regarding Psalm 19. You said you were studying that. Can you explain, in verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now, if you could explain from the King James Version, what are presumptuous sins?
Sometimes we sin and we do it before we hardly realize it. You know, it seems like that presumptuous sins would be something that we have know ahead of time and planned, and we know it's wrong, but we do it anyway.
Oh, okay. So these are sins that we know are wrong. We do it anyway. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
We just have a few minutes left, and if you want to call, that's fine. How do we know God? Well, first of all, you know him through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And we know him that way. I have a house, and it has plumbing. It has electricity. It has heat. All of these things, I don't know who owned it the first time. I don't know who built it, but I know somebody had intelligence. My cat didn't do it, you know, and I know that he had intelligence. When we see the universe, the stars and everything, we know that there was an intelligent being out there, and that declares the glory of God. Now, it says here, I'm going to skip down a few verses here. It says about the word of God, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This is about the scripture and the true word of God. Somebody says, I don't believe it. Give them the scripture anyway, because that can work on them. The law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect. That's what we're saying. And the words of the Lord endure forever. So somewhere on this earth, we have to have a perfect Bible, and we have it in the King James Bible. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something we look at. They have an ethereal Bible that they talk about like they have it, but then when you get talk to them, they don't really have it. It's not something that they can see, they can look at. Paul says we can handle the word of God. The Bible says we can look at the perfect law of God. converting the soul. More people have been converted through the King James Bible than any other book that was ever written. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That is, you can depend on it. You have to have a Bible you can depend on. Making wise the simple. And if you don't have wisdom, it'll make you wise more than your teachers, the Bible says. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Any Christian that reads the King James, he knows that the King James can give you rejoicing in your heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. God's word is pure. If it's God's word is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You're reading something that is pure, that rejoices you, that is true. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Listen, if you have a King James Bible, it's worth more than gold to have that Bible, because God said he would preserve it. The other translations, they come and go. The NIV is on its way out, and the rest of them, you know, they come and go. This one keeps right on going. And 5 billion copies have been distributed. And you have an army of people talking against it, doing the devil's work. But God says, my words will endure forever. We have the word of God.
Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman? If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program.